Welcome to The Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with The Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Hey guys, what is up? Welcome back to the Millennial Wave. I am Rachel Kayleen, and this is episode 42. We're out here with the gentleman, shortest name you'll ever hear on this podcast, Vic. He is an entrepreneur out here in Sacramento, and although he has a short name, it is definitely not a short list of things that he's been able to accomplish at a man's age that's only 20 years old. He's literally 20, guys. He doesn't even turn 21 until January, and he's already done so much. We're going to talk about it. But his main business right now that he runs and currently owns is a coffee shop out here in Sacramento. He actually...
Yeah, we got to put the product display in there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Sorry about that. When people bring books, when people bring products, I always try to put them in front of the camera. So I apologize. Here it is right here, baby. He's going to talk about it. But he just launched a mobile trailer for his coffee shop this past Monday.
Monday, yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's incredible. So, yeah. Vic, thank you for being on the podcast.
Appreciate you having me on.
I know. For someone that's so young, I mean, there's a lot of young people that are entrepreneurs right now, especially online, but nobody has a brick and mortar, okay? I'm serious. Like, this is crazy. This is nuts. So you have to tell me more about how you started. First of all, not only a brick and mortar business in an age like this with technology and social media, but also the fact that it's coffee.
Yeah.
Because... if you think about the industry, like just all the different coffee shops, Starbucks, Pete's, I mean, you know more about the competition than I do, but you have to tell me, like, I'm sure you niche down, like, you know, Starbucks is like a huge, you know, too big to fail type of company, but you have to tell me about what was your inspiration to start a coffee business and how long you've had it, what made you want to do it, tell me.
We do it a very, very differently. Like, where did it start? Where did the idea stem from? It was always something I had in the back of my mind. So just to give you guys a little bit of background, I have worked in the restaurant industry with my... well, I grew up in the restaurant industry with my uncle. He owns Flaming Grill Cafe here in Sac. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No freaking way, yes. Dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, so...
dang. Kind
of, yeah. He's been around
You're popping. Your family is popping.
I mean, that's all my uncle. That's, mm-hmm. you know, that's all him right there. Yeah. But I've been working with him ever since I was about 12 years old. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, the entrepreneurial stuff started way before then. Like, you know, just flipping candy, flipping... I mean, we'll go deeper into it. But
yeah, no, talk about it.
But with my uncle, or with the restaurant industry, it started with him. So working there, I started off as a busboy at 12 years old, worked my way from that to dishwasher, prep cook, and then in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And that kind of made me fall in love with cooking. And from there, I helped them open up. We started on like a little brick and mortar on El Camino at Watt. Mm-hmm. And from there, he opened up. I helped him open up the Elk Grove location and also his West Sac location. And then he recently launched the Country Club location in Country Club Plaza. So how I opened up Luchador Coffee was he had originally leased out two spaces there. It was Flaming Grill Cafe where he's at, and then this other space on the side of it where I'm at. And how I got that space was he approached me. I was doing real estate at the time. This was about two years ago that he approached me with this. And he's like, hey, I have this space right here. I'm going to... me subleasing it, I'm not going to use it because I'm too tied up with the restaurant, you know? So I'm like, okay, cool. What do you want me to do? He's like, well, if you want to do something, I know you've always dreamed of doing something. If you want to open something there, you know, it's all your money. You open it, you do whatever you want, but I could sublease it to you. And he's like, give me a day or a week to think about it. And then right there on the spot, I'm like, nah, fuck it. Let's do it right now.
Yeah.
And I just came up with the whole business plan, everything in about 3 months.
You literally bootstrapped it.
Well, kind of, because I had the idea to open up, because I, like I said, I was in love with cooking. So I had gone to San Francisco prior to that to intern at a couple, like, fancy restaurants. Uh-huh. So I had dreamed of opening up a, kind of like the cafe that's downstairs. Something uh-huh. fancy like that.
Yeah.
So my my goal was to do real estate from 18 to 21 save up enough money, about $200,000, to open up a fancy brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. So my first year in real estate, I did three deals as an agent, five deals as a wholesaler, which we could, you know, talk about that.
Yo, that's good.
I mean, it's all right. It's all right.
I mean, shoot, you know, what's that stat where they say that 99% of people or 90% of people that get a real estate license don't even sell a single home?
Yeah, but that's most people. Most people are most people.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You're right. Go ahead. Keep going.
Where was I going with this?
You did five deals as a wholesaler.
I did three deals as an agent, five deals as a wholesaler. And with that, I had enough money to start up the brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. So I poured everything into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you literally made a decision on the spot. Did you already have an idea for coffee? Did you already have an idea for a business, but you just didn't have the business plan? You didn't know how you were going to do it until you signed the lease? Or did you just literally come up with the idea to have a coffee shop on the spot while you were signing the lease?
Well, I had worked in a coffee shop. Shout out to Rescate Coffee while I was in high school. So just to show you guys, like, the work ethic it takes to be successful, I would work at Rescate Coffee from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., then go to school from, this was my junior year of high school, I would go to high school from 9 to 3, then to get my real estate license. So I got my real estate license 2 days before I graduated high school. And I'm sorry, this is all happening my senior year of high school, not junior. Then I would go to high school from 8 to 3. From 4 to 6, I would go to a college class so I could obtain my real estate license. From 6:30 to 10 p.m., I was working at my uncle's place.
Jeez, and then you did it all the next
morning? Yeah, that was every day. Well, that was 5 days a week.
You basically didn't have, like, a social life.
No, I still don't.
You're hilarious. Okay, so you have to tell me, like, where does all this motivation stem from? It has to come from somewhere. Don't just tell me it's natural. You need to tell me, like, where did this come from? What is the back story?
Well, I've only talked about this on my podcast. I haven't really, all the different interviews I've done, I haven't really talked about this on such a deep level. But I think it really stems from my parents being immigrants and them both coming to this country. And
from where?
My dad is actually from Lebanon. And my mom is born and raised in Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah, so them coming to this country and being able to give me the opportunities they've given me, it's almost like a deep-rooted way to pay them back, you know?
Yeah, and you want to do something for your family.
I mean, it's bigger than my family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. But do you feel like your parents are proud?
Maybe.
Are you guys close?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's a lot more.
You guys don't talk about it?
No, I mean, we don't really talk about it, like, on a surface level, but I know they are. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say I'm not proud of what I've accomplished, but there's, like, so much more I want to do. I don't think about it presently. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you started this coffee shop. You literally created a business plan, and you're 20 years old. You started the business when you were 18?
The coffee I technically started, I opened it like 2 days before my 19th birthday. So technically 18.
Okay, so you've had it for almost 2 years, though, because you're about to be 21, right?
Actually, I did it. No, it's only been 9 months. So am I doing my math wrong?
Okay, maybe.
Sorry. I did it 2 days before I turned 20. So when I was 19, correct.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. So you have to tell me, you're not even a year in business fully. How is it going?
It's going pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
So for a coffee shop, and tell me the location again.
It's, the location is not the best. It is inside Country Club Plaza. It's like a mall they're renovating.
Oh, okay, yeah. renovating. Yeah. What area is that in?
It is Watt and El Camino, so like North Sacramento.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's still doing well.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's doing well?
I think the brand is just genius.
The brand?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's very different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean.
So it's a Luchador coffee. Mm-hmm. Luchador is, it means wrestler in Spanish.
I can tell.
Yes.
Luchador. I'm trying to practice my Spanish.
So when I was coming up with the concept, I didn't see any like Latin-based coffee shops mm-hmm. in SAC. So I'm like,
So you think you attracted a... Do you have a lot of Latin customers?
Actually, we have a good mix of everyone.
Really? It's very diverse?
Very diverse.
That's exciting.
I mean, everyone loves coffee, you know?
I mean, food and coffee, a good amount of people.
Everyone has to drink.
Yeah, 100%. You know? So what were some of the hardest things? Like, obviously, you've helped your uncle open up a few restaurants. But regarding, like, a brick and mortar, what, besides, like, the fact that you love cooking and food and things like that, what made you want to do brick and mortar? Why not something online? Like, you're 20 years old, you know, running this business. And I'm sure most people that, like, I mean, if you didn't sublease the place from your uncle, trying to lease a place like that from some commercial agent, don't you think that'd be a little tougher? Like, how did you go about a brick and mortar when you have so much overhead on the line? Like, things like that. Like, things that people don't see. People see a successful coffee shop. They see a 20-year-old gentleman in Sacramento doing his thing, working his ass off, but they don't see everything that goes on behind it. So you have to tell me about, like, the struggles. Tell me about why you decided to even go a route that's so, like, you know, prompt for failure type of deal.
I just said, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah. So what would you have done if it didn't go well? What are you going to do? Or what would you do?
That's funny you say that, because my one of my acquaintances, I wouldn't really call him a friend, but they asked me, like, oh, what'd you do if it fails? And I'm like, well, failure is not really an option. Like, yeah. I don't even think about failure.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, one way or another, if I have to sell fucking coffee on the street, like, yeah, I'll make the shit work.
Yeah, know? 100%. So regarding that, how do you bring in customers? Because you're clearly not selling it on the street. You know, you're selling it from the mobile. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say that. You're selling it from the mobile, like, RV, but you have to tell me, how are you getting customers in the door? And the thing is, it must be doing really well because you're already expanding. You're adding more revenue.
It's doing all right.
Okay, so how do you bring, like, customers in? How are you doing that with your location?
Virtual marketing.
Virtual marketing?
Yeah.
You learn that by yourself?
Marketing. Yeah.
You learn that by yourself? You do it all yourself?
Yeah, I do all the marketing.
You do it all yourself?
Yeah.
I want to know, what are your, like, main values? Like, what are the things that you value the most?
Like, overall,
yeah,
you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I got it on my shoes right here. So this is, like, the quote I live by. They're a little bit dirty, but on one side it says, Luchador coffee on the outside. Inside, you want to read that?
Patience.
It says Proverbs 10:4.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't read the...
No worries. It's a little dirty.
And consistency, Proverbs 10:4. And consistency equals winning. What are the Proverbs 10:4? Can you please?
Proverbs 10:4. I'm not really, like, super
religious,
but there are things from the Bible that actually translate into real life. And Proverbs 10:4, it is lazy hands make for poverty, diligent hands bring wealth. So everyone thinks success, I mean, you know, thinks success is very hard. I think success is actually really easy, but diligence is very hard.
Talk about diligence. What does it take to be diligent?
Well, I'll give you an example, okay? So tomorrow, like, what do you think everyone's going to be doing?
Eating turkey and stuffing their faces in food comas.
So we'll be at GameStop in the mobile truck selling some coffee.
Why GameStop?
Well, they allowed us to sell there.
Oh, okay.
Sell right there in the space. But, I mean, you know, we're going to be working.
Yeah.
It's a 365 thing.
Yeah, 100%. So you feel like it's also, like, grind, grind, grind. Do you like Gary Vee?
Yes and no.
Why?
I don't like the patient shit he talks about. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it okay to talk?
No, I've already said.
But yeah, I mean, the patient shit he says is total BS.
Okay,
it's an excuse, in my opinion.
Okay, so you don't believe in, like, patiently waiting, but also working your ass off.
I believe in that part. I don't believe in the patient's part.
Okay, so why? Okay, so you're clearly not patient. What will it take for someone to get things quicker? Just work harder. You think that it's all about working hard, not smart?
When you say smart, what do you mean?
I mean, like, hiring out. I mean, automating things, like, working smart to where you're, like, things are working hard for you rather than just you. Like, you're, like, people basically trading their time for money. Even if they're working a job, they're trading their time for money, depending on the, like, no, every job working time for money.
Yeah.
You know? Same thing for business. People think that if they have a business, they can just, you know, start a business and then, oh, give it to someone else, whatever.
Well, 9 out of 10 businesses fail.
Yeah, 100%. So that's the thing. But they're mostly still trading their time for money. So it's not always about working hard and trading your time for money. It's also about working smart. Because why do people create businesses? Yeah, to have freedom. Yeah, to have time. Yeah, to have money. Like, most people want. Everybody in the world wants that, right? But they do that and they don't realize all the work that comes associated with it. And it's like, you're still trading your time for money. Like, business owners work some of the longest hours, more than anyone with a job, you know, and without benefits, without like security, things like that. So how can they be able to build something up? It's not just to build a business. It's to have something bigger, to have something better, to be able to give back. Like, everyone has their own reasons and values. That's why I asked you. But what I'm saying is, like, people don't just want to work in their business. They want to work on their business.
Oh, no, by far. I mean, there's systems and processes, different things you could build into the business.
Yeah.
But, I mean, year one, year two, year three, you got to just grind it out.
Yeah.
It's like a rocket ship. You got to get the thing off the ground in order for it to launch, you know?
So what's your long-term goal with your coffee shop?
It's more than, so essentially the brand is under Luchador Enterprises, so we're going to be launching a kombucha company pretty soon, and we're also going to be doing a food truck that should be out mid-2020 next year.
So you want to brand the whole company?
Definitely.
Okay, and you're like all about food? All about food,
yes and
industry?
No. I mean, it's like when you ask me why didn't I do a digital thing, I mean, I actually have a couple Shopify stores I'm partnered with. But the thing is, like, it's total BS. I mean, especially, like, right now, like, because the economy is super good right now.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's on Instagram, oh, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, blah, 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 join my MLM, all this BS.
Mm-hmm.
But when it really comes down to it, like, people have to learn real and actionable practical skills in order to build success.
What do you think are some of the most important skills people should be creating and working on right now? While the economy is good and while the economy is bad.
No, that's a very good question. Mm-hmm. Marketing, by far.
Marketing,
but not
in
hey,
person,
I'm a digital,
online?
Yeah, both. But, I mean, everyone now is a digital marketer, content creator, blah, 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 blah. Like, you really know how to market to where, hey, let me give you this product, some random-ass product. Can you sell it? And sales, when you ask me what is a good skill to have, sales is another very good skill to have. So you actually know how to sell the product you're given. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have any skill, I talked to someone about, someone asked me this, like, what would you do if you had, like, nothing? And, I mean, that's what I do every day. It's like, every day I reset at zero. Like, how can I, you know, go from zero to 100, but every single day? And it takes sales, it takes marketing, and it takes just, you know, I call it Kaizen. Like, how can you get 1% better every day?
Do you read, do you listen to personal development?
100%. Okay. But
you clearly have a great mindset.
I mean, it's all right.
Okay, you're too humble. Stop it. No, stop
it. I mean, see, I say that, like, everyone will be like, how's your day? I'm like, it's all right. Or how were the sales today? It's all right. Because it could always get better.
Yeah.
Like, no matter at what level you're at, it could always be 1% better.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm like, it's all right, because it could always be better.
Yeah. So some of the people, like, you already know, you've got this great mindset that you've worked on, that you've developed, you have skills that you've developed, you have things that you've done over the years, like literally starting at 12 years old, like you've had a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Because of the time that you've put in, the effort that you've put in, you know, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes skill. How can someone that's your age, that's in college right now, that is, you know, considering a job that they may not want, that they don't even know if they'll like, how can they create their own thing of others?
Yeah, not to cut you off, but mm-hmm. I think people are, like, in love with this entrepreneurship thing right now.
Yeah.
Like, everyone wants, what do you want to be? I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, have you actually sold something before? Because, like I'm telling you, I used to sell, like, fucking gum or candy, whatever I could mm-hmm. in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like ingrained in me, I guess. And I had like a huge cell phone repair. It was like a repair and accessory business mm-hmm. at high school. So I did, like, in a matter of 8 months, we did 6 figures.
Jesus.
that was my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
Like sophomore, junior.
Who's
year.
We?
No, it was just me and I had a sales team.
What?
Yeah.
Where are they? You guys should still be working together.
When?
You
we
and your
were
sales
working
team.
Together.
I know.
No, not anymore. That
really?
Was like,
it sounds
that
like
was
a good team. 6 figures together. Jeez. You need to keep them forever.
I mean, it wasn't.
Junior year?
You know.
Dude.
It was a thing I did. Actually, that was a thing I did to get my car. My first car.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, things I've done or created have been to reach another level.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
so what's this for? What level is this, mister? You got a car? what else? House? Mansion? I don't know. You don't. Well, are you materialistic?
I am not.
Why?
I just don't care.
That's not one of your values. So you value family. You value hard work.
Yeah.
What else do you value?
But like, see how I see it? It's like, okay, I could buy a Benz or a Jaguar or whatever the fuck I want, but I'd rather put that money to start another business.
Okay.
Just because I like building.
You love building businesses. That's your thing.
Yeah, actually, so we were talking about this on my podcast. Gotta put the plug in there. It's called the Coffee Talk Podcast.
Just kidding. Go ahead, say it again.
It's called the Coffee Talk Podcast.
Coffee Talk Podcast. Got it.
And my buddy, it's me and my buddy Jesse. He works for Northwestern Mutual.
Okay.
And he asked me, he's like, oh, like, you know, about the entrepreneurship thing. He's like, were you like born an entrepreneur or made an entrepreneur? And I'm like, well, I guess kind of born, I don't want to say like entrepreneur, but like business person. But like I told you, I want to build businesses. Like when I was in kindergarten, I'm like, I want to be Bob the Builder. But not like Bob the Builder, like I want to build shit, like you know, like houses and stuff. But Bob the Builder, like I want to see my vision through and build things in that way.
Yeah, I like it. So you have your thing. You know what you like. You know what you enjoy.
I like building businesses.
Yeah, and you believe in it, reinvesting your money back into things.
100%. 110%. Like, yeah. I mean, I think you should invest every single penny.
Every single penny into your businesses.
Until you get to a place. I mean,
what's a place? See, that's the thing. We all have this magical land. No, I'm just kidding. So we all have, like, this idea of, like, where we want to be, right? But I feel like for you, like, you say, wait until you get to this position. But I don't think that's ever going to end for you. I don't think it's going to end for a lot of people.
It probably won't for me, honestly.
100%. You don't rest.
It's like an addiction that will forever be.
Yeah. So what are you going to do after this?
Like, right now or?
Yeah, after this podcast.
Oh, probably like read a book, go to sleep, wake up.
Go to work. GameStop.
We're going to go slang some coffee at GameStop tomorrow.
Slang some coffee, yay. So you do that on Christmas too?
We'll see if I can find a spot.
Yeah, it's open.
Yeah. I don't know if people will be out on Christmas, but we'll see. Yeah.
Well, everyone likes coffee, right?
Yeah.
Nice little warm cup. I'm going to be sad because I'm a Starbucks girl. Like, I go to Starbucks a lot. See, I'm just saying.
I'm trying to crush Starbucks.
Okay, so clearly you have, like, a long-term.
That's one of them.
You want it to be, like, bigger than Starbucks.
Yes.
Okay. That's crazy. How long has Starbucks been around? Forever.
Quite a while.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the things we have today.
Yeah, true. Very true. So you do all your marketing and sales?
Yeah.
Okay, how'd you learn how to market on all platforms?
Just, you know, same way I've learned everything. Read books, get mentors, different things of that nature.
You must have, like, invested a lot of money into failure. Like, failing and fail. Like, come on, because you can't tell me that you knew how to market just right away.
But I don't want to say I've invested in failure, but what I've learned is, okay.
Lessons.
Well, that too. But, okay, so these people have failed, right? And these people haven't. What have the people that haven't failed done? And one of the big things is they've invested time and money. Time to learn skills, money to learn skills from people who know the skills or have mastered the skills. So I've invested a lot of money in mentors and different things of that nature. Like, to learn sales, just to give you an example, I'm five figures to learn from someone.
Okay. Who are your favorite people to learn from? I need to know. Who are some of your mentors who do you learn from?
Grant Cardone.
Okay. I'm not surprised at all that you say Grant Cardone. I am not surprised. Go ahead.
Grant Cardone, Clay Clark. No one really knows about him, but
he has
everyone should go listen to his podcast too. It is the Thrive Time Show.
Okay.
I've been to two of his conferences. They're out in Oklahoma. If you're like a real business, like have a real business, aren't one of these like, hey, I'm a digital marketer people, you should definitely go to that conference.
Okay. Anyone else? Five figures?
Yeah.
Into Grant Cardone? Or is it events mostly, or is it personal
mentorship? No, I don't go to these stupid events.
Okay.
I mean, to me, it's kind of BS because...
You're very straightforward. It's okay.
I am.
We need those.
I mean, no, definitely, because a lot of people probably come on here and bullshit, which I'm not going to. But a lot of people, you know, they go to these events and they just kind of go there for the hype or to put it on Instagram. Hey, I'm at this guy's event. Yeah. I literally know someone. I was in a mastermind with them. They paid to be in the mastermind just to pretty much take pictures with these people.
Oh.
Like, if you look at my personal Instagram, I haven't posted in like a year,
year
and a half. I just don't really give a shit about the hype.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for real life, not for the hype.
You're like, you're okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, most of these people are just doing stuff for hype, for Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, when Instagram's done, what are you going to have at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. 100%. So, okay, so Grant Cardone, Clay Clark?
Clay Clark.
Clay yep. Clark.
He's America's number one business coach.
America's number one business coach, and I don't know who he is.
Cause
is he a good marketer?
Same thing. He doesn't do this Instagram, Facebook bullshit. Mm-hmm. He's actually with clients, like real business owners, helping them build their businesses. He owned one of the largest DJ companies in America.
Oh, Clay really? Clay Clark, okay.
So him, Grant Cardone, who else? I mean, there's like a couple other people that I've learned from that.
Do you like Grant Cardone because of how straightforward he is?
I like Grant Cardone because of the mindset part. I have 10X tattooed right here.
No way. You are diehard.
Like that.
Please tell me you've been to 10X.
I've been to one event. I probably won't go back. Just
because of the hype.
It's all
did
hype.
Did you go to the one in Miami or did you go to the one in Vegas?
No, I went to the one in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the one where he came in on like a parachute or whatever?
No, I was at the one where he came in through the ceiling.
Well, that's still pretty cool.
That's though. Pretty good for an intro.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. Dang, that's cool though.
But that book changed my life. Totally changed my life.
10X
rule. Yeah.
Sell or be sold.
That one's pretty good, but 10X is way better.
The Millionaire Booklet.
That one's
short. That was like one of the first ones.
It's short, but if you actually read it, it's very practical.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it doesn't list like
kind of breaks 10 down
million
mindset.
Steps, but it's five
yeah.
steps.
Yeah.
And if you follow those five steps, and you follow them how you're supposed to follow them. It's inevitable at the end.
Yeah, 100%. So what are some of the main things that you really, like, live by? Like, besides the work hard, work, all that.
But that's one of the main things.
I know. And yeah. And honestly, I know that you're going to drill it.
Read this
see,
right here.
See, he's going to drill it into your guys' head.
Read this right here.
What does
what does that say?
Dream big, work harder. Work harder.
Because you could be dreaming as much as long as you want, but if you don't put the action in, I mean, action creates everything.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
But don't answer better not be just do it. What is the first step? Someone dreams big. I'm going to give them something of mine, okay?
Definitely.
Okay. So I want to turn this podcast into like a platform, and I want it to be not just like a learning platform, but I want it to be a platform where people can come and they can work with some of the podcast guests that come on here, like mentorship, work with them, work for them, intern, whatever it may be.
Buddies has done that before.
Who?
One of my friends has done
perfect.
That.
So, okay. So you must know the answer. So anyway, I want to do that. I want to build up the podcast, grow the audience, turn it into a platform with them to be able to work with the podcast guests, to be able to go to any events that we have, to be able to get any courses that people bring on, and then, you know, turn it into this whole thing. What is the first step to creating a platform like that? Like, I have this big dream. I already work. I already have another business. But with the podcast, this is what I really enjoy. This is, like, what I do in my free time. How would I turn that into a real business?
Create as much content as possible, but create quality content.
Quality content for the audience, aside from the podcast.
Yeah.
To attract members, to attract the big audience.
Is that your goal, is to attract as many people as possible? Or
attract people that have this, that dream big, that want to work hard, that just need the actionable steps, that need the mentorship, and that need the right guidance. Not just anybody. It's not like, oh, Call Me Daddy podcast. It's not that shit, okay? I love that podcast. I don't listen to it all the time, but I like the podcast. Like, I like entertaining podcasts, and, you know, I listen to T.I.'s podcast, which I think is great, but I want to attract certain people. I want to attract people that I feel like were like me when I was 17, 18. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I didn't know what I liked. I thought I wanted to be an actress, but I realized I like business. That was what I enjoyed. So people that don't have that guidance, and the only reason I realized that is because I got introduced to the right people. So that's what I'm saying.
Honestly, I think you got to break the niche down a little bit. So do you want people that are business savvy, or do you want people that don't know what direction they want to go into?
Don't know what direction they want to go into.
Then I would try to interview as many people and as in a wide variety of niches. So people will get an idea, hey, if I'm this type of personality, what can I do? If I'm if I like this, what can I do? If I need to learn this or don't know this, what can I do?
Cool.
So the wider variance you have, then you'll attract a wider audience,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Alex. Yeah.
Like, my podcast is very actionable. So pretty much what me and Jesse do is, it's called the Coffee Talk Podcast because we like to drink coffee.
Clearly.
And, yeah.
Lots of coffee. That's a good coffee plug for your business.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a whole branding and marketing side behind that. But,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. But with that, we're interviewing like world-class entrepreneurs. So we've had Brian Casella. I don't know if you know who he is.
No, tell me.
He's like a big-time real estate guy in SoCal. We've had Jeremy Rubin, Friendly Flipper. I don't know if you know who he is.
You have a lot of real estate people. Or no?
Well, quite a few. Okay. But we have Pej Mangadimi. He owns Secret Academy. He was on Fastest Car Season 2. I don't know if you saw that or have heard of him or not. But no, I mean, it's cool. But these are like real business people. I'm not trying to get like, you know, Joe Schmo, who supposedly has a marketing agency and doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I'm trying to get like real, practical, actionable people. And like with that, like I'm in the process of writing 2 books. So the podcast is going to be, it's helping me do that.
Yeah. I like that. So it's always an enhancer. It's always like something up.
That's what I'm saying. Like everything I do, it's like a next level step for me.
Yeah, 100. Oh, that's crazy. I love it. Okay. So you bring on these people and you and Jesse do this podcast and you're writing 2 books.
Well, I don't want to say they're coming out next year, but they're like micro steps.
Mm-hmm.
So one is like a huge case study. I can give you like, I have like 3 titles for it. One's called The Immigrant Edge. That way you could just kind of get an idea in your head of what the book's going to be about.
Nobody copy it.
I mean, if they do, I have 2 other titles I'm going to be using.
Don't tell me
them
then.
So. No, I won't. Okay. But that's one of them. Just so you guys get the premise of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really nice.
So what I've noticed is, like, immigrants work very, very hard, but they don't have either the knowledge or the education to get to the next level. I mean, you have these, like, people who are working, you know, day and night in like, cornfields and shit, but they're working for pennies because they don't know anything else.
That's so funny. Well, it's not funny, but let me tell you something. I literally just came back from Mexico today. I went on a volunteer trip with a group, and we were at an orphanage for, like, the last few days. And one of the things that we did during the day is the director took us to an immigrant camp. Then she took us to a women's shelter, and this was all in Tijuana. And when we went to the immigrant camp, I just looked around, and I looked at the families, and I looked at how they were living, and I looked at how they just wanted a better life and that they wanted to provide for their family and their kids. And I just look at the kids, and I'm like, this is literally all they know. Like, the parents, this is all they know. They're just trying to survive. They're just trying to give their kids a better life. They're trying to be able to provide, like, give them an education, all this. And they didn't even have an education. That's the thing. They had teachers come, like, maybe once every month just to be able to try to teach them something. And it just makes me, the one thing I took away just from being there, like, my one hope for them is that they get exposed to something besides what they see. Because that's the only way that they'll know different. Like, they only know what they know. They only see what they see. So if they get exposed to different opportunities, different people, different locations, it'll make them dream bigger. It'll make them want to do other things. And you're absolutely right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your parents obviously came here. You know better than I do. I'm, you know, United States.
Yeah.
But being able to go there and see that, it just, like, my only hope for them is that they, you know, they have the opportunity to see something besides what they see.
No, 100%.
So I like that. That's special. Wow, the world really does align, huh? That's special. That's really cool. I love your story. I love what you're about. You're very different in the best way possible. Unique. You're resilient. You're not patient. You know what I mean?
That's. Well, I mean, you can be. That's why, like, if I had a way bigger platform, which I don't want one, like a personal one, I have no desire whatsoever to build a personal brand, even though everyone's like, build a personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as I was talking to someone else about this like 2 days ago, which is funny, like all these topics are being brought up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, everyone's like, oh yeah, build your personal brand. But why don't you build an actual business that can work without you having to be the forefront face of it?
Exactly.
Like, all these people are trying to build brands around themselves. Like, why would you want to build, like you were saying, how can you outsource or, you know, whatever you were saying, not having to do work all the time? Well, if you build a personal brand, you and you only are the only person that will be monetizing that business. Because you have to put a face to it.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's not my face. Mm-hmm. All the other things I want to do are not my face.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I want to build a personal brand?
I love that. And that's the thing. I believe it's important to build a personal brand, but that's one of the things that you should be doing aside from your other businesses or other things that you're doing, because you can't sell your personal brand. You can't transfer your personal brand.
No, but I mean, if I wanted to build a course, which I could do, I could build a lot of courses if I really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I have no desire to, because why would I want to? How I see it, all these people are making different courses, and they're selling to people who are just want to get rich quick. I mean, really, like every digital
if that's the people you're attracting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But those people that build courses, they know there's people out there they could sell to. Or else why would they want to sell the course? They would just actually do the skill that they're trying to sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you have a proven model and a proven skill set, why don't you use that skill set to make money and not have to sell training on that skill set?
Yeah. Well, education is a huge field. Yeah, I see why they do it, but most of the people, especially the ones that have been in the game a long time, like obviously Grant Cardone, he sells a shit ton of courses, a shit ton of books, but he obviously got himself to where he is and he has businesses to back it up, real estate to back it up.
Most of these people don't have businesses to back it up, though.
Exactly. So, I mean, if there's people doing it the right way, I mean, people get into real estate. People get into real estate. 90% of them don't even sell a single home. Is it because they want to get rich quick? Maybe that's what they think.
In my opinion,
maybe it is. That's the thing. But the 10%, that's what matters. The 10%. 90% of people are never going to do the shit that they say they're going to do, but 10% will. Maybe even 5.
Yeah. I mean, but like for me, real estate was just, it was a bridge more or less. It was, okay, what's the fastest way I could get from point A to point B? Real estate.
Yeah.
So
and some people will have to learn the hard way. Like, you knew what you wanted when you started. You knew that you were going to create success no matter what. You knew, like, I'm gonna do it. But other people don't. They have to get shown the hard way. They have to have things happen in their life where it makes them realize, shit, I can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Keep buying these courses. I'm not getting anywhere.
Well, they like, that's why I push action.
Yeah.
The most. Okay, consistency is awesome, but if you're consistently reading mm-hmm. and reading, and there's no action behind the reading,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, there's a quote, it's like, action without execution is like kill, or something like that. I can't think of the actual quote.
I know
right
the quote, I just, yeah. Action without...
Knowledge without execution is meaningless.
Okay.
That's what it is.
That's a good one, too. Cool. All right, Vic, tell these people where they can find you since you're not posting on social media.
I guess if you want to DM me on at Entrepreneur Vic on IG.
Do you check it?
Yeah, okay. I check DMs. I have people DM me all the time. I mean, I post on my stories, and people are like, oh, because I do a lot of different things. Like, the newest thing I got into just to kind of learn it is how to flip luxury watches.
So, bright rings,
and no, I don't keep them. I don't even wear any jewelry. I like tattoos, no jewelry. But, I flip Breitlings, Rolexes, Omegas, things of that nature, just to, you know, get a little bit of extra money. Cool. Like my goal is to
not... this is literally like a mini Gary Vee agree with Gary Vee. This is crazy.
Like my goal is to not take any money out of my business personally for the next 3 years. So I'm doing other things outside, like, the actual business to pay myself. Because I'm not paying myself for 3 years. Like, how many people would do that? Not that many.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, anything else?
DM them. Is there any opportunities for people to, like, work with you, work around you, get mentorship from you? Like, what is available?
Well, I've had a lot of people ask, like, hey, can you mentor me? Fucking, like, do something first.
Yeah.
Really. Like,
what do they need to do?
Well, do something. Like, people are like, oh, I want to get started in real estate. I'm like, all right, well, fucking get started. Like, they want me to, like, hold their hand across getting their license and shit. I'm like, get your fucking license first. Yeah. How do I get my license? Fucking Google it. No, like, really. People don't want to do any work whatsoever. They want you to, like, drag them across the goal line. Like, put in at least a little bit of effort and show you could put in effort. And then you try to get mentorship. I mean, that's what I've done. I've actually put in work and I'm like, okay, how can I go from level 1 to level 2? Well, maybe I need a mentor, like you're saying. Like, I mean, we could go back to it when you're like, oh, you asked me about failure or something, and I'm like, well, I've sought out mentors so I didn't have to fail as much or as often.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only after you have, like, put some action towards it, you know? You don't just want to, hey, can you mentor me? What the fuck does that mean? You know?
Mm-hmm.
If you have no direction whatsoever, like, who or what do you want mentorship from?
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty long.
So but, go put in some fucking work, and then you can contact him.
But okay? No, I mean honestly, like
get a number.
Yeah, but we're growing the brand, and we're growing everything like that. So if you're looking to be around, a very high performing environment, email your resume. Just put like in the subject line. See, this is another thing. In the subject line, put resume. And then email your resume to luchadorcoffee@gmail.com. That's luchadorcoffee@gmail.com.
Perfect. You did exactly what I was going to ask.
Put resume in the subject line.
Resume if you don't. Right yep, away. Boom. Good. I love it. All right, cool. Vic, Entrepreneur Vic, you heard it here first.
Well, thank you so much for having me as a guest. I appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thank you, guys.